We are continuing in the Easter season. As I discussed last week, this is a time when Jesus, as we read in the Gospels from the previous weeks before today, was appearing to his followers in his risen form to help them know. And he said to them, "You are witnesses of these things. Go and witness to them." And this is really the theme of Easter, that God has come to us. God has come to us in his new life, given us new life. We've seen new life, and that we can go and share that sort of joy and purpose that comes with knowing God in that way. And so I bring all this up as we approach our readings from this Sunday, as we look at this Sunday of the Good Shepherd, which is also Earth Day. And what I'm getting at here in this sermon is that when we experience something, when we know something, we are then able to first appreciate it and then be about it, in the world. And in those ways, both Good Shepherd Sunday and Earth Day have something in common. When we delve into the Bible, we notice immediately that the wisdom we receive comes from an agrarian culture. This is so basic that we rarely think about it. Of course, the wisdom of the Bible is not bound by time or space, not bound to the place and the circumstances in which it was developed. Just as Jesus, our Savior, our risen Lord, Jesus the Christ, is not bound by time and place, the place of his birth. But he lived in a time when people were closely connected to their environment for daily survival. So much of what we hear comes from that reality. Jesus is the good shepherd, not the good cruise director, right? I was trying to think of something that would relate in some way, right? The cruise director is trying to organize everybody, bring everybody together to have a good experience. He's the good shepherd. Just as in Jesus' time, we too are connected to our environment for our daily survival. But we don't often think about it that way, at least I don't, because so many things are between us and the earth. So many things are between us and our experience of creation. And we didn't choose this, it's just circumstance into which we were born. Thankfully, many of us, most of us here, I would hope everyone here, but maybe not everyone listening to this sermon later online, but most of us live in houses. We have heat. We even, some of us, I know some of you choose not to do this, but most of us have air conditioning, so that the seasons of the year do not impact us in the same way as if we were living in, say, tents. We have water that flows into our homes. We don't have to go and find a clean source of water. We're not as worried about the waterways around this area as we would be if we had to go to them personally to get clean water to carry home. For us, there are many things, many distractions that are between us and our relationship with the earth. That reality inspired a parody of a drug commercial of all things, a pharmaceutical commercial. You may have seen it. It came out about 3 years ago and is available on YouTube. I'm not sure when I first saw it, but it really surprised me because it looks so much like those drug commercials we're so used to. You know, there's a real form to those, right? Format. So this one starts with a man sitting by a lake. A beautiful setting, and he's staring out at the lake, looking serious. And he says, "Do you find yourself longing for the apocalypse?" I did. He goes on, are you feeling tired, irritable, stressed out? Well, you might consider nature. And then you see the name of this prescription come on the screen. Prescription Strength Nature, with Terra Mater underneath, right? They have the name, and then they've got the scientific name, in this case, Mother Earth. And then you hear the announcer, from the people who brought you getting outside comes Prescription Strength Nature, Nature RX. Side effects may include spontaneous euphoria, taking yourself less seriously, being in a good mood for no apparent reason. It really got my attention because it's true. It's true. And how often do I think about it in that way? How often do I think about taking a walk in response to stress? Nature is God's gift to us. And as people of faith on this Earth Day, we do well to accept the gift, to enjoy the great gift of the earth, of nature, of what God has given to us. And when we're experiencing it, when we're aware of it, like many of you are, probably more than me, then we want to do all we can to protect it, of course. It was 1970 when the first Earth Day came as a response to pollution and troubles in the environment. And very soon after that, the Environmental Protection Agency was created, all in response to knowledge, to experience, to the realities of what goes on in our world. So when we know about that, we recommit ourselves to be good stewards of God's great gift, the gift of life in this world. And in fact, of course, it is the gift of life with this world, in communion with the earth. Just as we're invited by God to enjoy creation, nature, and to care for creation, we're invited, I see this link, we're invited to enjoy the great gift of our relationship with God and called to respond to that gift. Today we hear about Jesus the Good Shepherd, how God comes to us as the Good Shepherd, one who is willing to do anything and everything for the sheep. We remember that Jesus is the Good Shepherd who brings us together, who desires unity among all the sheep so that there is one shepherd and one flock. Unity, peace, communion. Even in our time, when we're aware that in diversity we see the face of God, and so we love diversity, we value that we're not all the same, how boring that would be for God and for us. But we are, in all our diversity, one human race. We are one flock. And in that way, Jesus desires to bring us together. God desires this, that we may embrace each other as the brothers and sisters that we are. The image of the Good Shepherd is so well known and loved because this way of understanding God speaks to us of God's personal love and care for us, that it's personal, that God is your constant companion. God is determined to find you no matter where you are. God's everlasting love, expressed so beautifully in Psalm 23, we hear it is that constant companionship that lasts even beyond the constraints and limitations of our physical life, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is our Good Shepherd. This is our God. Our understanding and our experience of our Good Shepherd, our experience of God's compassion and companionship, is an experience, once we embrace it, we know it ourselves, we want to share with others. As Jesus told his friends last week, we heard in the gospel reading, you are witnesses of these things. What we have known, what we have seen, what we have experienced, we're then able to share. So never discount your experiences with God, your experiences. Remember those times you felt comforted, when you felt companionship, and that is often through each other, right? Often through each other. It does not have to be a blinding vision on the road to Damascus, right? Often it's in the small things, and then all of a sudden you realize, yes, I feel a connection. I feel a connection that is beyond understanding. That's God. That is God. So that sort of experience is what God is wanting you to share. In the context of the Good Shepherd, I also think of a reading we hear in Matthew's Gospel. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his people, he says to us today, this world needs people, needs us, needs you to go out there and be about God's work and ministry, a sort of way of being in the world that is about compassion, the sort of compassion that we see in the Good Shepherd, bringing hope and healing and wholeness. When we have been found and seen by God, we want to find and see others. And again, in the Episcopal Church, sometimes we get a little worried about that, right? Being too out there, we don't want to be pushy at all. So I always think of St. Francis and his words that we are to preach the gospel at all times, and if you must, use words, right? But you're doing it just in how you live. You're doing it all the time. To conclude, I would like us to pray in words from a book that I've mentioned a few times, Eucharistic Prayers, a book of prayers written by Samuel Wells and Abby Kocher. And we pray knowing that even as we ask God these things, we hear God saying to us, be my companion in this work of companionship, of peace, of new life. And so we pray, saving God, your rod and staff comfort all who look to you in faith. Search out your sheep that are lost and bring them home. When you find them in the valley of fear, gather them in your arms. When they face evil in the presence of enemies, follow them with your goodness and mercy all the days of their life. On that day when the shadow of death covers them, bring them to dwell in your house forever. Amen.